Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
In the somber thoughts all weekend long about President Obama's visit to Japan and Hiroshima, it's hard to imagine that 70 years ago, it wasn't clear that a nuclear bomb would work at all. There was just this theoretical recipe for a bomb that included something called heavy water, water made out of hydrogen that has an additional neutron, deuterium it's called. The U.S. believed the Germans were developing a bomb and had an edge with a supply of heavy water close by in Norway. A small band of Norwegian commandos embarked on a harrowing middle-of-the-night mission to sabotage that supply in German-occupied Norway.
The heroes of Telemark. A picture of terrifying suspense against a panorama of rugged grandeur. Their mission stopped the Nazis from developing the atom bomb.
Rugged grandeur. Yes, the 1965 movie The Heroes of Telemark, starring Kirk Douglas, is an exaggerated account of a mission, the true story of which needs no exaggeration. Journalist Neil Bascom tells that story for the first time for most readers in his recent book, The Winter Fortress, the epic mission to sabotage Hitler's atomic bomb.
Well, when I first started researching this story, I thought it was very much a story of these saboteurs beating the odds against the Germans in penetrating this impenetrable winter fortress. But the fact is, it's really much, very much a story about beating the odds against nature, surviving blizzards, surviving living 3 months in a cabin while you collect intelligence and prepare for a mission. So in many ways, the Germans weren't their enemy. It was the blizzards and the cold in a place that legend had it that it was so cold that flames froze in the fire.
I mean, this is like Game of Thrones, the setting here. It's really nasty. And describe a little bit what these folks had to go through, just to get through the course of a day. I mean, parachuting onto the tundra, for instance, seems terrifying.
These guys parachuted at night and descended into this high mountain plateau called the Vida. And it's 3,500 square miles of rock, ice, and snow. And 1 mile looks just like the next. I spent some time there cross-country skiing just so I could get a feel of it. And the cold is so penetrating. And they didn't have any food. The only thing there to eat was reindeer. And so they were surviving off of the reindeer they were hunting, eating every bit except for the hooves.
What was their objective, and why did they have to cross this Vida to get to the objective?
So their objective was Vermuk, which was the heavy water plant, which is located about 100 miles west of Oslo. And it was the sole place in the whole world at that point in time that was producing heavy water, which was a key ingredient for their atomic research.
This literally was the only place in the world where you could get this.
Correct. I mean, the Americans in the Manhattan Project were starting a plant in Canada to do this. But at that time, Leif Tronstadt, the scientist turned spymaster, had built this plant at Vermuk. And it had a lot of power, a lot of cheap power, and it was an ingenious design that he had had. And so it was the sole place the Germans desperately needed it. They secured it. It was already a fortress by the sheer fact that it was set on the edge of this precipice at the edge of this mountain wild. But then they put minefields and they secured the lone suspension bridge and they had guards round the clock. And so these saboteurs needed to parachute in. They needed to survive. And then they needed to find a way to assault this fortress.
Did anyone associated with the plant or even this mission understand the kind of nuclear weapon that was at stake here, or was that a deep, dark secret?
Leif Tronstadt, who was orchestrating these operations, he was working closely with the Allies to hit this place. But the saboteurs themselves, the majority of them were never told. The leaders of the operation were. One named Paulsen was told by Leif Tronstadt, you're going to this place to blow up this plant because it provides this key ingredient for the German atomic bomb that could blow up London. And Paulsen didn't believe him. He just thought that Tronstadt wanted him to do a very good job.
In terms of sabotage, there were lots of bridges and tunnels, small scale but important sabotage that was being done by the resistance all over Europe, in France and elsewhere. What was the objective here that maybe was a little bigger?
Well, the objective here was to infiltrate the plant, reach the basement level, which was the belly of the beast, as it were. It was the center of the heavy water facility that provided this key ingredient for the bomb. And they needed to blow up these cells. There were 18 cells that they were set on laying explosives on, to blow up the heavy water, have it drain out, and then destroy the machinery and then get out. And for them, because it was so heavily fortified, to a man, they thought it was a suicide mission. They thought that they might be able to get in, but they most certainly wouldn't be able to get out.
And what did they find?
They found exactly what they had been training on in London. In fact, Tronstadt had built a mock heavy water plant in London so these guys could lay these explosives in the dark if they needed to. And so when they finally entered this place and they finally got inside, they found it undefended because the Germans never suspected that anyone could reach the basement, could reach inside the plant, and the setting of the explosives went off seamlessly.
There's a moment where they encounter a locked door, which indicates that they're going to have to go through this bizarre tunnel to get to their final objective to set the explosives. That is a real moment of heartbreak. I mean, I was let down. What did they feel?
There was some panic, but Ronenberg, thanks to Tronstadt, knew that there was this little tunnel that they could shimmy through. It was full of pipes and wires, but it was right above the basement floor. And so they made their way through this dark tunnel. They dropped a gun while going and made a big clatter, but no one heard them. And they were able to drop into the basement unseen.
Who's alive today from this mission, if anyone?
So all but one individual has since died, a man named Joachim Ronenberg, who was the leader of the mission. And he is just has remarkable insight into this story. And I had the treasure of about 120-page interview of his memories, of his thoughts at that time. And I found in this story, and different from many of my books, that just the resources, the diaries that were available. I had from Leif Tronstadt, for instance, daily diaries from the time he escaped the Gestapo to the moment of his death in 1945. And the same with Ronenberg. It was really, in many ways, a window into these guys' souls that, you know, for an historian like me, is gold.
Neil Bascom is the author of The Winter Fortress. Thanks so much, Neil.
Thank you.